Well, Father, we thank you for this morning, God, Lord. It may be raining outside, but as my wife prophesied, Lord, we declare, God, that it's raining on the inside of us, God. Lord, let our souls, let our hearts, let our minds, let our physical bodies be filled up today, Lord. Lord, because we made a decision to be in the house of God. Lord, because we made a decision to seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you, God, for everything that you've done to us, through us, and for us over the last 36 years. God, we thank you for the person that is brand new to our church here this morning. And God, we thank you that you are no respecter of time, no respecter of person, no respecter of place, God. So we're asking, Lord, in the spirit, will you accelerate us, God? Will you make the next 36 years? God, will you make them just as supernatural? So amazing. Lives touched. Bodies healed, marriages restored, the gospel preached, boxes of food served, our community loved, God. Lord, all around the world, God, will you somehow, some way work through us and to us and for us, God, so we can preach the gospel, Lord, through the four corners of the world. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to serve in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, help us become builders. Help us, help me become a builder in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that praise, shout a big loud amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I want to recognize a few things. So first of all, our church officially grew by one. Kwan, you want to, wait, your wife's obviously not here, but he's a brand new dad. So congratulations to him and his wife. Noah Sky is a little guy's name, weighing in at 7 pounds and 14 ounces. So, woo! So they're going home today, I believe, right? Praise God. So dad's awake. That won't last long. So get all the sleep you can in church. No, you can't be sleeping in church. What am I saying? Hey, also, I want to recognize TC. Are you in the house? Teen Challenge guys, will you give those guys a big shout? Let me hear you, Teen Challenge. Woo! We love, 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 love those guys. I thank you for... thank God for the ministries that we're connected to, Dream Center, and all that God's doing through Heather and through Terry Merrick and that incredible team. Had a chance to catch up with them this week. Anyhow, God's doing a lot through our house, amen? We're not the only church, but we're part of the Big C Church. Hello? We just got to do our part, what God's called us to do. God's called us to build. Somebody shout the word build. So as I was thinking through this morning about the message that God laid on my heart, which, by the way, don't miss next Sunday. We're going to kick off a brand new series that Angie and I have been talking about and that God has laid on our heart. It's called Hello, My Name Is. It's going to be good. It's going to be real good, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to preach today's message, amen, and what God has on my heart to preach to you. So if you've got your Bible, your holy iPhone, or if you want to just follow behind us, flip over, if you would, to the book of Nehemiah. By the way, I love Nehemiah. I could literally preach. I could preach a bunch of messages out of the book of Nehemiah. But today I only have one message. And as you're making your way to the book of Nehemiah, which is in the Old Testament, you know, one of the things that God has really put on Angie and I's heart is the ability to have quality time and to spend time together, not only with the two of us, but with our family as well. And so thank you for all your prayers and love and support. Took a few days off this week. And as we did that, we were super thankful. And Angie and I got a chance just to sit on the back porch of this beautiful condo. And we were just talking about all the good things God has been doing and talking about what's coming ahead. And so we had just an amazing time. So once again, thank you for all your prayers. And then on the way back, you know, the devil always wants to do anything possible to try to rob, steal, or kill, or destroy us. Amen? He never rests. He never sleeps. He always takes advantage of any opportunity to try to literally kill you. And we had that experience, actually. We were driving down Interstate 10, going westbound, And we were roughly at Bonifay. If you're familiar with where Bonifay is, it's roughly mile marker 110, and you'll know why it's so vivid in my memory here in just a second. And so we're just having an amazing time. We've been we are worshiping all the way home, and just really having an incredible time. And anxious to be back home, though. How many of you know you love to go, but you can't wait to get back? And so that was us. And so we were cruising along. My wife was driving. And so we were going, of course, she never speeds. She was going 70 miles an hour, plus some. Anyhow, going down the interstate. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a car, a white four-door car, was going the opposite direction in our lane. They were going eastbound, we were going westbound. And it happened like that, in a moment. The car never stopped, never slowed down, never put on her brakes, flew by us. And man, right then and there, my wife did an incredible job driving. She put on her brakes at 70, 75 miles an hour. Last thing you wanna do is just, you know, go aggressively trying to swerve out of the way. So she did it. And then she laid on her horn, and I kidded her afterwards. I asked her, I said, is that an appropriate use of the horn? And she said, absolutely. If you don't know that message, you got to go back and watch it last Sunday. And I was in shock, honestly. I didn't even hear her honk the horn. How many of you know when you're going down the interstate, the last thing you want to see is someone going eastbound when you're going westbound on the same two-lane road? Hello? And so, of course, we called the highway patrol, and as quickly as I can get my phone out and just said, hey, there's a car going eastbound, should be going westbound. And unfortunately, you can read about it in the paper, we were at mile marker 110 when we passed her. We called at 109. We made it to 108, and she crashed at mile marker 110 head-on into a tractor trailer. Don't tell me the enemy is not out to kill, steal, and destroy. Literally a mile from where we passed her, she was instantly killed. I'm saying that not to bring this party down. Although it's sobering, we were terrified, we were shaking, but we were thankful. Amen? We were thankful that somehow, some way, that we weren't going two cars wide down the interstate or a tractor trailer next to us and we had nowhere to go. I'm thankful that my wife had the ability to swerve out of the way. But my heart's heavy that someone lost their life. Amen? And so we just set up today. It just put an even, it put even more importance on the this need for you and I to maximize, for you and I to live, for you and I to build, for you and I to grow, for you and I to become everything that God's called us to do today. I'm not promised tomorrow, y'all. You're not promised tomorrow. Some of you believe you're invincible. You're not. Amen? You're not. You're one car ride away. But this is all I know to do is to pray angels. Amen? It's to speak protection over you, to pray over our house. And so when we say, church, we need you to pray, we're not saying it just because it's a good thing and it's a cliche thing to say. We're saying it because there is an enemy out to destroy you and I. Amen? There is an enemy literally wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. But I thank God that we have this amazing thing called scripture to lay our hands on, to put our trust in, to put our faith in. Amen? And that is what I want to preach out of. I want to preach the book of Nehemiah out of you, into you this morning, because I believe God has put a mandate on us, because there is an urgency in my spirit this morning. We can't waste another day. Hello? We can't be consumed by all the things, all the wouldas and the shouldas and the couldas of life. I have to live right now, right today, and what am I going to do tomorrow? Thank you for one amen. Come on, you got to preach back at me now. Thank you. I want to know today, God, what do you have for me to do today? Because I can't change any decision. I can't change any fear, any flaw. I can't change the highs and the lows of everything that I've done for the last part of my life. Heck, we can't even change anything about this church over the last 36 years. But what we can do, what we can grow and build upon, is what God is going to do today. Can I have an amen? What God is going to do tomorrow. And so if you're in the book of Nehemiah, I want to speak to you. Flip over, if you would, to chapter 2. I want to set this message up this morning. And then at the very end, we're going to do a couple things. We're going to all come to the front, and we've got a membership covenant statement that we're going to pass out here at the very end. And then we're all going to corporately, we're going to celebrate, and we're going to step into this amazing church, this amazing family, this amazing community of believers called Jubilee. And then right after that, we're going to go celebrate. Amen. I don't know if we're going to do it outside. We're watching the weather, but we've got food. We've got jumpers. We're going to dedicate, hopefully, our brand new playground, and we're going to do it all today. Is that all right? So it's going to be amazing. So strap on your seatbelt and let's go. Nehemiah 2, verse 17. And so the background on Nehemiah, if you don't know the story, I don't have time to go into it great detail, but basically his job title was a cupbearer. He had been appointed, and basically he tested and tasted and made sure that everything that was given to the king that he could, of course, drink and eat. And so first, Nehemiah was the guy that did it. He didn't have a noble title. He wasn't overly qualified. I'm sure he had his own set of fears and flaws. Sounds like you and me, amen? He was probably one of the least qualified people for God to ultimately do something supernatural with, but he knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. And so let's jump in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "But now I said to them," this is Nehemiah talking, "you know very well what trouble we are in. Look, Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." Verse 18. "Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, 'Yes, let's rebuild the wall.'" That last part. "And so they began a" what? "They began a good work." And so after months of preparation, after months of petitioning the king, after months of planning and really just believing God, after walking past the ruins day after day and month after month after month, something rose on the inside of Nehemiah, and he caught the vision, and he shared the vision with the people. He said, "Hey, look around you. All of this is in ruins. This is not God's will. We need a place where we can come and worship. We need a place where that we, our families, can be safe from all the people that want to try to attack us. Let's go and rebuild the wall." And so he shared that vision publicly. He shared that vision with a group of people. And the response back from those group of people was, "Let's do it. Let's build." So the title of my message this morning, and you're going to insert your name, if you're familiar with the show called Bob the Builder. Anybody ever watch that show? So you're going to insert your name. You're going to be Tim the Builder, or John the Builder, or Mary the Builder, whoever it may be. Nehemiah was a builder, amen? So on the count of three, I want you to yell your name, and then we're going to say the words "the builder." All right, one, two, three, the builder. Amen? You and I are builders. God's called us to not be settlers, but for God called us to be, work with me. God's not called us to be settlers. God has called us to be what? The spirit of building is upon you and I. Amen? And so he shared that vision publicly with the people. Ange and I shared our vision back in January over our house that God had laid on our heart after a few days of praying and worshiping, to take what the vision that was originally articulated 36 years ago, for this house to be a distribution center, for this house to welcome people of all nationalities, of all colors, of all backgrounds, of all sizes and shapes, for us to be a house that trains and equips, for us to be a house that heals, for us to be a house that it pours into people through ministry and through resources and through food and through whatever God can do to us, he can get through us, amen? And so that vision still sticks today like never before. Our house is built upon a firm foundation. Our worship team sang it this morning. Our house, our vision over this house is so much bigger than what I can do in the natural. Somebody say, thank God. Because if I can do in the natural, then why do I need God? Why do you need God? The vision over your house, the vision over your marriage, the vision over your kids, the vision over your job, the vision over your situation, whatever God has put on the inside of you, if you don't need God, then what's the point? It's not big enough, y'all. It's not big enough. But I thank God that he's given us this vision over our house to reach, to go, to become, to pour, to train, to pray, to equip not just our community, not just this place we call Pensacola, which, by the way, I love this place. I love this place. Despite all of the warts that the world and other people, maybe even you, have put on our community, I think Pensacola is an amazing place. And everywhere I go, I talk about it. Every chance I get, I share how amazing, not just because of the beautiful beaches, but you know that we are one of the most generous communities in all of the United States. In terms of the nonprofits, in terms of the amount of money that we give away, in terms of the foundations, in terms of the things that are being built, we are one of the most generous communities not just in Florida, but around the United States. Thank God for Pensacola. Thank God for Escambia County, amen? Thank God for the Gulf Coast. And so for us as a house, it's important for us to catch the vision of what God's called us to do. He's called us to preach the gospel, make disciples, to influence people for Jesus. Our vision is to influence people for Jesus, simply put. The challenge is, as Nehemiah in chapter 4, he ran into some resistance. Flip over your Bible to Nehemiah 4. Let's talk about that. I'm going to read it. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. Are you guys there? Are you guys there? All right. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. Chapter 3, don't have time this morning to go into it, but chapter 2, once again, share the vision. Chapter 3, they got busy. Somebody say, get busy. They got busy building the wall. And so here we go. Sanballat was very angry. He's one of the officials. When he learned that we were rebuilding the wall, he flew into a rage and he mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think that they're doing? Do they think that they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think that they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite, who is standing beside him, remarked, that stone wall would collapse even if a fox. Sorry, it's my last name. Even if a fox walked along the top of it. And then I prayed, hear us, God. This is Nehemiah praying. Hear us, God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own hearts, on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of, what's that word? Shout it. What's that word? Builders. Builders. Whew. At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we complained. Oh, sorry. But we talked to 10 people about it. We binged on Netflix. No, the Bible says, but we did what? But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Then, verse 10, then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired. There's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying as well, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them, kill them and end their work. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. So, this is Nehemiah talking, so I placed an armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by my families, armed them with swords and with spears and with bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and fight for your homes. When our armies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, I thank God that we serve a God that can frustrate our enemies. Can somebody say amen? We all returned to our work on the wall, but from then on, only half of my men worked while the other half stood guard with spears and shields and bows and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on the work with one hand, supporting the load, and with the other hand, holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and officials and all the people, the work is very spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it's sounding, then our God will fight for us. Verse 21, we worked early and we worked late. From sunrise to sunset, half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. Last verse. During this time, none of us, how many of y'all? None of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my mother-in-law, nor my nor the guards who were with me ever took off our clothes. That's awkward, y'all. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. Listen, God-sized vision will attract criticism. When you and I have a vision, when you and I say it publicly, when you and I declare it out of our heart, when you and I write it down, the Bible says, make it plain. When you and I start to share it with other people, it will immediately attract criticism. For you see, if we're not really doing anything great for God, then there's really no reason for the enemy to be mad at us. Hello? If we're not stepping out in faith, if we're not stepping out in outside of our own ability, we're trusting on God, then we really don't set ourselves up for a whole lot of pushback. But I'm telling you guys, you know, and I've had this conversation the last few weeks, you know when you're going against the gates of hell, when all hell starts to break loose in your house, in your home, in your kids, in your wife, when you're driving down the interstate, my God, and someone passes you going the wrong direction. You know you're pushing against something. And I thank God that we serve a God that is bigger than whatever you and I will have to confront. I thank God that God is bigger than what any kind of criticism, anything that anybody that tries to oppose what God is trying to do on the inside of you and I. For you see, I know that how you handle criticism, how you handle people that are opposed, how you handle the pushback that people get. The Bible says to do one thing and one thing only, pray for them, love them, amen? Love them, even the hard people, even the people that work to just irritate the fire out of you. Does anybody have any of those folks? They just irritate the fire out of you. You go to work, but you know that somehow, some way, you're gonna bump into Tom or to Day or whoever it may be, and you know that they're gonna irritate the fire out of you. The Bible says, pray for them. Walk in love. Pray for those that curse you. Pray for your enemies, amen? And so Nehemiah, he stepped into that God mindset. He stepped into that attitude that God, if you're for me, who can be against me? God, you've got to be with us. God, you've got to be with us. And so, what is the vision that God has given you? What are you building? See, we only have really three choices in life. We can accept kind of where we're at and just go along and bump along and woe is me. People do that all the time. They've been dealt a bad hand. They've encountered trauma or tragedy. They've walked through some pretty tough times. But I thank God that you can stay put. You can do it God's way. Amen. You can just trust God. That I can't go back and change anything in my past. But God, what do I do today? That was Nehemiah. I can't go back like that and rebuild a wall. But God, if you're with me, God, if you'll stay with me, that somehow, some way, you will do the impossible. God, here's the vision. You put it. I see the need. God, you gave me the vision. And let's get to work. Amen? Let's get to work. And so if you think about that story about Nehemiah, about God-sized visions attracting criticism. If you think about opposition is just going to somehow go away, it's not going to happen, you guys. The opposition to build a church doesn't just go away because we decide to pursue God. The opposition to reach our community just doesn't go away because it's a good thing. In fact, we encounter more resistance. Hello? Have you noticed whenever you take a stand in your marriage that we are gonna live for God, we're gonna pray, we're gonna pour into our kids, we're gonna do everything possible in order to do it God's way, that's when the heat gets turned up. That's when something starts to fall apart. That's when you get a doctor's report. That's when something happens at school, something happens to your car, something happens to your physical body. Hello, is anybody listening? And somehow, some way, it knocks the very momentum that God was trying to build on the inside of you. For you see, everyone has got an opinion. Oftentimes, they won't line up to what God says over you, your purpose, and your vision for you. Amen? Isaiah 51 says, and I'll read it to you, verse 7. It says, listen to me. You know, you who know right from wrong, you who cherish my law in your hearts, do not be afraid of people's scorn, nor fear their insults. For the moth will devour them as it devours clothing. The worm will eat at them as it eats wool. But my righteousness will last forever. My salvation will continue from generation to generation. For you see, people all around us, y'all, they will throw everything possible to get us to stop. They will throw everything possible. They will throw their anger at us. They will throw their criticism at us. They will throw their opinions at us. They will do everything possible in order to somehow, some way, stop you and I from doing the work. But I thank God that the God that you and I read about, the God that Nehemiah totally trusted, he is greater. And so I just stand on that word this morning, that God, that the vision that you've put over me, over my family, over my marriage, over my kids, over my house, over my city, God, it's so much bigger than what I can do in the natural. I'm trusting you today. I'm trusting you today. Why? Because you and I are builders. Can you shout the word builder? You and I are builders. And so at verse 6, it talked about the wall was half completed to about half of its height around the city. And the people, I read that verse, it said that people were enthusiastic. How many know that it's okay? We need to celebrate today. We need an opportunity to say, thank God for your goodness. Thank God for your faithfulness. Thank God for everything that you've done to us and through us and for us. Thank God, Lord, that you've sustained us, that you have been faithful to us. But you know what? Not everyone is going to celebrate with us. Amen? Not everyone that's going to do in this journey with you is going to want to be able to celebrate with you. Verse 8 through 11, it talked about that. It talked about where right after they built half the wall, they just cranked up the intensity. They started to say, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to kill you. How many know that? Just when you think you've arrived, just when you're ready to celebrate, it's the very time when the enemy comes out of nowhere and wants to knock your very knees out from underneath of you. I'm telling you this morning, you guys, that if we build on anything other than a firm foundation, if we build on anything other than what God says for you and I to do, we risk the enemy coming and knocking the very knees out from underneath of us, doing a sniper attack. But I thank God that we are in a church that's learning, God, this is what you say. Last Sunday, I talked about that message. God, because of what you say, And we're declaring that out of our mouth. I want us to be a church that knows the word, not just in times when somehow, some way tragedy is right in front of us, but you know the word 24/7. You're rehearsing the word. You're declaring the word. You're speaking the word. You're posting the word. You're writing on post-its. Amen? We got to get the word in us so that when we face an enemy that never, never fights fair, we can speak the word. Whatever it may be coming against us. Can I have an amen? Man, I want us to get this on the inside of us so that we are equipped, we're trained, we're ready. We are builders, but we're also battlers. We are builders, but we're also warriors. Amen? You and I, we are on a battleship. This is not a cruise ship. Hello? If you signed up for a cruise ship, this is your opportunity to vacate that seat. Why? Because you are in a fight for your life. Has anyone noticed that? I don't have time this morning to walk through all of my testimony over the last 52 years and how God has somehow, someway rescued my life out of some really dark places and messes that more than I created, most of them, amen? But there's also times where the enemy just didn't want to fight fair and tried to come at me. But I thank God that I knew enough word on the inside of me. See, I didn't grow up in church, y'all. I found Christ because I wanted to date my wife. And I thank God for her that she made it so plain. She said, hey, listen, boy. Actually, I'm not sure that's what she said, but she said, either you get in church or hit the road. Ladies, guys, be that bold. Be that bold. It changed my life, y'all. It changed my life. I mean, she was smoking hot, so I wanted to date her. But I also knew there was something about this thing called God in church. That somehow, some way, I saw who she was. And I wanted to be more like the God that's on the inside of her and less about what I was walking through. Amen? So listen, young people, I want to speak that over our church. That you don't you settle for the counterfeit. Hello? Young men, young women, older men, older women. Divorced, widowed, don't you settle for the counterfeit, amen? Walk in the purpose, walk in the purity of God. And he gave me one of the most incredible wives, and we get ready to celebrate on June 20th, 30 years of being married. Hey, listen, Romans 1, flip over to that, take a big right turn. Underline this in your Bible. Romans 1, verse 24 and 25. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. That's a great anniversary scripture, huh? They traded the truth about God for a, what's that word? For a lie. And so they worship and serve the things that God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. See, hey, listen. There is a fight right now in our culture. There is a fight today in the year 2022. There has never been I have been walking planet Earth for 52 years. There has never been a more time where there is more craziness and more things that are chaotic, out of control, opening the news up. I sometimes don't even wanna look at the news these days, seeing some of the heinous, the evil that is in our world. And the Bible said it, when we choose to abandon God, when we choose to abandon worshiping God, when we choose to start worshiping ourselves or worshiping our bodies or worshiping our Instagram idols or worshiping celebrities or worshiping government or whatever we choose to worship, when our focus and our energy and our lives and our attention and our emotions, when that becomes our idol, when that becomes our religion, when that becomes our God, God says, good luck. man, I don't want to be that kind of church. Amen. I want to be a church that when they walk through those doors, when they watch online, when they see our social, I want to be the kind of church they feel the heart and the love of God. But make no mistake about it, we are going to preach love and we're going to preach the truth. Hello? For you see, there's a lot of love coming out of the world, but there's no truth coming out. And so devoid of truth, it'll leave people in the realm of doubt. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we are going to preach the full gospel. Newsflash, we're a full gospel church. If the Bible says we can do it, if the Bible says we can have it, if the Bible says I can do it, I want to experience it, amen? I want to be a New Testament church. I want to be a church that can walk in the supernatural, walk in the wonder, walk in the awe of God. We want to be able to lay hands on the sick, amen? We talked about it last week. We want to cast out devils. We want to prophesy. We want to see people healed. Can I have an amen? So if you want to know what kind of church we are, that is what kind of church we are. We are a New Testament church, amen? And I just believe that if we will just get in our Bible, listen to me, y'all. If we get into our Bible and we will walk this thing out by the Spirit of the Lord, we will explode in growth. We will. If we do it our way, Tim's way, we'll be no different than the world. Will be no different than the world. But I thank God that there's a vision on the inside of Ange and I. There's a vision on the inside of you all as well. That we're going to do it God's way. Over our marriage, our kids, our finances. Over our community. Hey, which by the way, July 23rd, we threw it in the announcements. I need everybody to be a part of that. We're still short roughly about $4,000. We're going to give away 1,250 backpacks. We're going to do a couple hundred haircuts for free. We're partnering with over 35 folks that are going to donate their time to cut hair. If you know of somebody, if you cut hair, we need you to volunteer. Amen. If you can stuff a backpack, we're going to put school supplies and we're going to put a hygiene kit and we're going to stuff it with food. We're partnering with all sorts of different agencies and elected officials and even our county commission. They stepped up and wrote us a check for $5,000. So thank you for paying your taxes. Come on, it's going to be amazing, you guys. And we are going to preach the gospel. For you see, a backpack is not going to change a young person's life. But if somehow, some way, if we can use a backpack, if we can use food, if we can use entertainment, if we can use that to draw in, guess what we're going to do? We're going to do it. Amen? July 23rd, make sure you got that on your calendar. We're going to need a ton of volunteers, and we need money. So pray about that, amen? Pray about that. God lays it on your heart. I'll take your money. Is that all right? You guys okay? I'm going to take your money, but I'm not going to use it for my purpose. I'm going to use it to bring glory and honor to God, and we're going to see people saved, amen? I believe that with all my heart. So let me just wrap this message up. In verse 10, it talked about building. Go back to Nehemiah. I just want to talk on this, and then I'm going to give you three quick steps. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. I want to, just for a minute, I want to talk about this. Here's the truth. The Bible said, then the people of Judah began to complain, the workers are getting tired, and there's so much rubble to be moved, we will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Hey, listen. It's much easier to tear something down than it is to build it up. Hello? Much easier. It doesn't take me any time at all to build down my kids. It doesn't take me any time at all to tear you guys down. Don't pray, don't serve, don't help anybody, you're no good, whatever it may be. It doesn't take me any time at all for me to look at you or for me to look at myself, quite frankly. Let me make it personal. For me to look in the mirror and see all the things, all the flaws, all the things that I see out of my own natural eyes instead of what God sees. If you ever watch any of the amazing HGTV shows, if you ever watch any of the shows that do any kind of rebuilding, the very first thing they do when they go in and they get ready to flip a house, what is the very first thing they do before they start doing anything? What do they do? It's demo day. Amen? They start knocking down walls. They start ripping up carpet. They start taking toilets out. They start just doing, listen, demo day is easy to do. It's messy, but it's easy to do. So how many know building something is so much harder? It takes work. It takes sweat equity. It takes money. It takes time. It takes your talent. Churches are no different, you all. I believe, as my wife, I believe that we are right on the edge of one of the most amazing seasons for us as a church. When you looked around, did you see how many people were sitting down that have only been at this church less than 1 year? It's incredible. The water baptism, seeing people get baptized. DNA last week, if you missed that was incredible. Half of those people coming to find Jesus in the last few months. That is the gospel, you guys. Amen? That is the gospel coming to life. People getting saved, people getting healed, people getting baptized, us serving our community, us loving on people, us taking care of the widow, the poor, us ministering to the rich. Hello? That's the gospel coming to life. But it is hard. It's hard. But I thank God that God's put on the inside of a spirit that will not quit. For you see, quitting is not an option in the kingdom of God. Can I have an amen? It's easy to quit. It's easy to quit. In fact, somebody in the sound of my voice, you made a decision today, this morning. You walked in this church this morning and you even thought about quitting. Quitting on church, quitting on God, quitting on your family, quitting on your marriage, quitting on your career. There's a spirit right now that has been unleashed, especially in our young people, that they will absolutely settle for what is the minimum. I don't accept that as a father. I don't accept that as a leader. I don't accept that as a pastor. I don't accept that young people especially, and maybe even some of you, I don't accept the fact that I can only do the minimum to check the box. But I declare greatness over our young people. I declare the greatness of God. I declare big vision over your life, over your marriage, over your home, over everything that God's put on the inside of you. Don't settle. Don't get weary. Don't quit. Three things, write these down. Three things that Nehemiah did that I pulled out of the chapter 4, and I encourage you to go back and read the rest of Nehemiah. Three things that Nehemiah based his ability, and spoiler alert, they actually built the wall in 52 days. 52 days, they did something that had been sat in shambles, in ruins, that had sat desolate. Nobody took it upon themselves to build the wall until a man named Nehemiah showed up. Nobody. People walked by the same desolate wall day after day after day and did nothing. 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 But I thank God for a man named Nehemiah. He learned three things. The first thing that he did is pray. Write that down, y'all. I want you to put in a reminder on your phone. This sounds kind of silly. In our men's round table that's been meeting on Wednesday nights, we've been walking through the fundamentals. And we had one of those messages about prayer. And I believe that the prayer that Nehemiah spoke, he said, "Hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads. May they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders." He just got real with God. Will you carve out time this week? For some of you, you have to put a reminder on your phone. I know you should be farther along in your spiritual walk. But for some of you, it's just you haven't developed the discipline of praying. It's okay. Start today. Amen? Start today. If everybody in the sound of my voice this morning, if you would pray 10 minutes this week, 10 minutes. Worship 10 minutes this week. And read your Bible for 10 minutes every day, Every day. Are you listening to me, church? If we will pray as a church for 10 minutes, now for some of you can pray for 2 hours. God bless you, do it. But for some of us, we're still developing muscle. We're still learning how to be a builder. Pray for 10 minutes. Read your Bible for 10 minutes. And worship for 10 minutes. Did you catch that? Come on, do that, you all. Our church, you, your family, your situation, your thought life, your actions, the things that you are building upon, they will radically change if you and I are in the Word of God, if you and I are praying, if you and I are worshiping 30 minutes. Well, Tim, you don't know my schedule. I do this and this and this and this. Hey, listen, we're all busy. We all have the same 24 hours. Are you listening to me, you guys? Get up early, stay late. Instead of listening to the news, being on Facebook, Instagram, instead of all the other things, listen, Fox News is not my source. The Word of God has to be my source, you guys. And so he learned how to pray, and he got real with God. I guarantee you, Nehemiah was saying, God, kill him. Well, he didn't say that, but I think he was thinking it. How many know that prayer changes things? Prayer changes these things. I can go around the room. I can look at supernatural circumstances and situations. I can tell you that the power, if it wasn't for the power of prayer, you would not be here. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that prayer changes us. Prayer changes our church. Prayer changes marriages. Prayer changes my family. Healthy men and women build healthy families. Healthy families build healthy churches. Healthy churches go and reach unhealthy people. If any of that is out of whack, then you and I have missed the whole gospel. Amen? So number one is pray. That's what he did. Number two thing that Nehemiah did, while he was praying, he got busy. The Bible says, they never stopped working. He changed his strategy. He said, hey, half of you are going to work. The other half of you are going to guard. Everyone's going to have a sword. Everyone's going to have a building tool. And everyone's going to have a fighting tool. Come on, y'all. That's a picture of you and I this morning. That God has equipped you and I with something called the sword of the Spirit. It is your offensive weapon, amen? It is your tool to fight back against the gates of hell. It is your tool when all hell is breaking loose in your life in order to go after the enemy. For you see, I'm not called just to sit there and take it. I'm not called just to stay in my prayer closet and get the snot beat out of me. I am called to fight. I am called to war. I am called to push back. But I'm not called to do it with my mouth. My opinions, my criticisms, things that didn't go right for me. What I am called to do is use the Bible. I need that Bible again. Come on. Things are going to come flying out of it. I love it. I need this Word of God to stand on when I know that God, you said. That was Nehemiah, y'all. Nehemiah said, my God, you will defeat my enemies. We will build that wall. So get up, people of God. Start building and start warring. They prayed. They worked. They got busy. The last thing, can I just read this? The last thing. My God, thank you for your word, Lord. Verse 14, come on, get there. I promise I'm closing. We got lunch made for you anyway, so are you guys okay? Can I take just a couple more minutes? Last scripture. Verse 14, love this. I've been chewing on this scripture all week long. Nehemiah said, then as I looked over the situation, listen to this, y'all. Then as I looked over the situation, what was the situation? People are trying to kill him. People are mad about him, building the wall. His own people are getting exhausted. His own people were saying, we can't do it. The neighbors were saying, they're going to get you. That was the situation that he was looking over. He did this amazing thing. He said, I called together. Somebody shout the word together. I called together. By the way, that's what I did this morning. I'm calling together our church. I'm calling together our church. I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, come on, y'all. Don't be afraid of the enemy. I'm speaking that over somebody this morning. Man, I feel that in my soul. Man, I've just been chewing on that all week long. And then for us to have that happen, woo. Then he said, look at the situation. I called together the nobles. I called together Jubilee. And the word of God says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember, that's number three. Remember, they prayed, they got busy, and they remembered. They remembered the Lord. Who? They remembered the Lord. For he is great and he is glorious. He will fight for your brothers. He will fight for your sons. He will fight for your daughters. He will fight for your wives. And he will fight for your homes. Nehemiah kept praying. He kept working and he remembered. He didn't focus on the difficulties. He didn't focus on the drama. He didn't focus on all the things that were broken and not working. He focused on the promise. Build the wall. Build the wall. For you see, it's easy for me to get consumed by the things I fear. It's easy for me to get consumed by the things I fear in life. The Bible talks about in Galatians that I'm not called to please men. The only person I'm called to please is God. I had an opportunity on Friday to lean, literally lean on the grace, the power, the mercy, and the trust of God. For you see, I've been a part of a program called Leadership Pensacola, and it's supposed to only last a year. It's gone 2 years because of COVID. And it's comprised of 35-40 leaders from all over our county, amazing leaders, by the way. And I've learned more about our incredible city. That's why I love this place more now than I ever have before. Of what makes this place happen, what are the different entities, whether it's government, whether it's nonprofits, whether it's hospitals, whether it's education. I've learned it all and met with some of the most amazing leaders in our community. We went on the military base. Henry, wave your hand real quick. Thank you for all he does in our military, serves in our Blue Angel team. And so I'm so thankful for what he does. Amen. He promised me he's going to be able to take me up on one of those jets sometime soon. Well, I'm calling those things not as though they are. I've had a secret love ever since I was a little guy to fly jets. And at the tender age of third grade, my vision went, so there went my opportunity to fly jets. But I faced something on Friday. I faced a fear in my life on Friday that I didn't think I'd ever overcome. And so we went out to Adventures Unlimited with a group of, I think there was about 30 of our class. And if you've ever done a ropes course out at Adventures Unlimited, it is one of the most terrifying experiences I literally have ever had in my life. Can you show the first picture? They made us, there's four different things we did that day. So this was the last thing we did. We climbed a wall. It's a 25-foot wall. There's no ladders. There's no way up. Other than that, you lean and you trust on the very people that are below you in order to hoist you over the wall. You guys, I hate heights. I hate being hoisted over anything. My big size 13s want to be on firm ground. Amen? Can I have an amen? I love having soil under my feet. Go to the next picture. That's me. Walking across a telephone pole. You climb up a 14-foot ladder. Then you climb up a telephone pole And then you balance yourself on that telephone pole with one wire. And you walk across a telephone pole to get to the other side. Y'all, I was shaking. I was trying to come up with some reason why I should not be doing this. Fake an injury. Fake something. But something on the inside of me wanted to face my fear. I'll admit it, I don't like heights. I have a fear of going on a roof. I have no business being on a roof. Amen? But I said, God, I want to do something today because I'm going to come on Sunday morning and I'm going to talk about building. And first, you've got to start on the inside of you and I before I could do something on all the people around me. So there I went. I went across and I went back halfway. Next picture. There it is again. One more picture. Last thing we did. You guys, this is absolutely nuts. It's a wire this big. This big. And all you do, you move from rope to rope to rope while you balance on a wire that big. Why in the world would anybody in their right mind go and do that and pay for that? That's what I'm thinking of myself. Can anybody relate? It's sort of like fishing. I'm not sure. Well, anyhow. But man, something on the inside of me, I took a deep breath and I said, God, be with me. Be with me even in the scary situations. God, be with me even in the things that I fear. God, be with me in order to cross that wire. And I take a deep breath. And I started walking. Well, actually, it was more like this, with my knees wobbling a little bit, going across the wire. But how many of you know if we're ever gonna do anything for great for God, we gotta face the very things that will hold us on the ground. If we're ever gonna do anything great for this church, if you're ever going to do anything great in your marriage, in your families, it's going to require you to get out of you. Hello? It's going to require you to get out of the way. Because the problem is that if I stay in the way, that means I'm not trusting God. Romans 8:31 says that if God is for us, who can be against us? So here's my prayer for us as a church. Come on, usher team, if you guys will grab these. Start handing them out. We as a church, I am called, you are called, we are called to be builders. I'm not called just to sit. I'm not called just to be a settler, amen? But I am called to build. So we're going to do something here in just a moment. I'm going to give you just a minute or so. We're handing out one of these membership covenant cards. Every year we do this. We don't believe in perpetual membership. In other words, once you're on or part of our church, remember, you don't stay there. We want you to be active. We want you to be involved. We want you to be tithing. We want you to be serving. We want you to be preaching the gospel. Amen? So I want everybody to grab one of these. Every adult. You can figure out between if you have a family, you can figure out who needs to fill out the kid information. But if this is your house, if this is your home, if this is your family, if God has planted you in this incredible family, get walking. Amen. Get building. Get building. Grab one of these. And I believe right now that God is going to put on the inside of us a fight, a willingness to face our enemies, to push back, not with our mouths, not with our opinions, not with our education, but to push back God's way. Come on, take just a minute, fill that out. Here's my prayer for us. We're gonna all come to the front in just a second. Come on, ushers, you can put the buckets up here. Fill that out. And this is what I want us to do. I want us to come down front in just a second. And I want us to declare and repeat after this covenant. What God has put on the inside of us to go and grow and to build, to become. The wall that God has called us to build up in our city. Hey, listen, we've got everything that we need, amen? We've got everything that we need. Everything that we need, it's found in God. If you're watching online, we'll get that form to you as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Come on, let's take another 60 seconds. And then we're going to stand and meet me down front. Hey, the good news is it looks like it's quit raining outside. Are we going outside? Thumbs up, thumbs down, maybe? All right, we'll see. So we're going to dedicate our brand new playground. We're going to do a massive ribbon cutting out there. And then we're going to eat. Amen? We're going to celebrate all of what God has done to us and through us and for us. And then we are going to look forward, amen, to what God is going to be building on the inside of us. What God is going to be building on the inside of all of us. All right, you guys about ready? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, will you stand to your feet? I'll give you just another minute or so to write. Just stand to your feet when you're done.
Was built on you.